This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and rewatch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
All right, gentlemen, let me do the heavy lifting here with Sammy Lavidez. That is, we're talking to him in my hometown of Dallas, Texas. Actually, no, you do the heavy lifting. I just wanted to say hi to Sammy.
All right. Good morning, Sam Levitt. He is live from the Anatole Hotel.
Oh, yeah.
In Dallas, Texas.
Site here in Dallas.
The MLB winter meetings. He got there last night looking good in the lobby. Already
yeah.
Posting some videos on our social media accounts at 97.3 The Fan and reacting to the big news, Sammy, last night with Juan Soto already agreeing. That's a way to start the meetings with a bang.
That's how you do it. Jeff Passan said it was going to happen, and it happened.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I wish I could tell you that when I was standing here in the lobby of the Hilton, that fireworks went off and there were cheerleaders that came out announcing a new signing in Major League Baseball. But I think some of the reporters sent out those tweets and, you know, they got the TV networks going and we went about our business. But obviously it was, the biggest news we've had this offseason. I think from just an action standpoint of what we could see at these winter meetings, it's significant because it felt like, you know, Soto was the first domino that had to fall before maybe we see some of the other free agents, big free agents, really start to come off the board. Although we did have Willy Adames obviously get a big deal with the Giants, and Snell obviously a big deal with the Dodgers already. But, you know, now I think the question becomes, you know, what does the market look like for Jerks and Profar, who we know the Padres obviously have interest in, and obviously left field is a need. So, you know, look, the Soto deal, the contract itself, I think, you know, it made everybody's jaw drop around here. The money's unbelievable, but the Mets have an owner in Steve Cohen that is just willing to go to lengths that we've never seen before. And ultimately, you look at, you know, a lot of the numbers, you know, it just seemed like Soto wanted to be a Met, you know, rather than a Yankee, because the Yankees' offer was fairly comparable. So obviously the big news yesterday, and now we get to see what else happens and if we have any action for the Padres here in the next 3 days.
Yeah, I mean, and that's kind of what we were just talking about, Sammy, is that, you know, I think from a fan base perspective, it's like, well, we better have some action, right? I mean,
yeah,
who's still on the board? You know, who's the next big ones to come off? I'll get the hiccups.
You okay over there?
Yeah, I'm all right. You got rumors about Corbin Burns, you know, going to the Giants, and Buster Posey is really looking to build a good team to try to compete. The West is the you know, everyone out here is signing, and signing elite players except for the Padres right now. Are you hearing any buzz? I mean, people hear you work for the Padres radio network. Is everyone kind of giving you the side head tilt going, oh, what are you guys going to be up to this offseason?
Yeah, I will say this. It's definitely a bit of a different vibe than last year in Nashville when everybody knew that the Soto situation was kind of looming above the Padres' whole offseason, and obviously they made that trade on the Wednesday night of the winter meetings, and they went on from there, and then obviously had a lot of action after that heading into the rest of 2024. But look, I think the vibe this time and talking to some people last night, the first thing that came up was just the payroll number and, you know, kind of people wondering, you know, what the Padres are willing to spend, you know, knowing they're up against the luxury tax already. And I think there's also, you know, a feeling of, hey, it's AJ Preller and you just never know how creative he can get to ultimately, you know, free up payroll and, you know, get talent back and do what he needs to do. And my goodness, we saw him do that last season. So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely a different feel in talking to some people last night. There's not this big Soto thing for the Padres dangling out there, kind of hovering over anything. But I will say, I think the first thing that everybody's sort of wondering here is that payroll number. And it makes sense because that would seem to dictate what the rest of this offseason looks like and how aggressive the Padres have to get in maybe making a trade involving one of the players on their major league roster and perhaps a significant player. So I don't know that you know they're doing the you're here for the Padres, they're not going to do anything.
Oh, because
I think people know. Yeah, I think people know that AJ Preller is AJ Preller, and things can get kind of crazy. But I do, you know, talking to people yesterday, the vibe is you know, let's see what the Padres end up doing, and I think the payroll number obviously has a lot to do with that.
All of Sam Levitt's coverage from the MLB winter meetings here at 97.3 The Fan is presented by San Diego County Credit Union. It's not big bank banking, it's better. And one piece of news that we expect to drop in the next couple of days will be the official posting of Roky Sasaki, opening up that 45-day window in which teams can woo him, you know, meet with him, and eventually sign him. Have you heard any talk about Roky Sasaki in your brief time there? And I mean, obviously, this is going to be, I mean, he's not signing until after January 15th, but I wonder how much, in terms of the rumors we'll be dropping and what kind of crumbs will be left over the next, you know, 5 or 6 weeks before we really get to the point where he can sign.
Yeah, it's another big piece of buzz, I would say, last night is obviously where he's going to sign. And I think with the Padres in particular, how important he is, right? Because he's an unbelievable talent that you would get on the very, very cheap. And maybe that does free up the Padres to, you know, move forward without making a trade, you know, and having to go that way to free up money and acquire talent. So I think no doubt about it. I didn't get any inkling last night as to, you know, where Sasaki is leaning towards signing. But I think the vibe around here is obviously for the Padres in particular, because of their situation, it would be a really, really, really nice deal if they could find a way to land him and could kind of free them up moving forward the rest of this offseason. So we'll see how quickly that happens. Like you said, people here are expecting Sasaki to get posted during the meetings. What does that mean as far as what we hear, you know, him agreeing to a team, if that's going to happen quickly, if this is going to be a drawn out process after he technically gets posted, that we'll have to wait and see. But for the Padres in particular, and with their situation, yeah, I mean, it's a key part of this offseason. And, you know, you talk to people who believe they're in a good spot and in a strong position to maybe land them. So we'll see.
No, Sammy, we're talking to Sammy Levitt here on Ben and Woods this morning. And when we were at the winter meetings here in San Diego a couple of years ago, you know, we did our show 6 to 10 and then just kind of lurked around for a while and pressed some flesh. What does a day in the life of Sammy Levitt out at the Anatole Hotel look like this week? You got to call in with us, call in with Andy and Elston, call in with Gwynn and Chris. What are you doing? Are you hanging out at the bar? What are you doing all day?
Well, I woke up this morning. I got a nice cup of coffee. They have a nice little concession thing set up, I think, for the winter meetings
expense
in the lobby.
Make sure you expense that.
Yes, okay. Of course. Right. Yeah. Cool. Actually, I don't know if cups of coffee by themselves if that's on the Klug coverage plan.
Put it in.
We're telling you it's okay.
I'm telling you it's fine. You got the Ben and Woods rubber stamp.
I did expense my dinner last night. I'll tell you, last night I was kind of standing here around the lobby because the Soto stuff was all, you know, seemingly coming to a head, and I was really hungry. I didn't, you know, had anything to eat since before my flight in the morning. And I said, all right, I'm going to, you know, hop across the street and go get a burger. And I did, and I came back. So I did expense that and then got back here right when the Soto news dropped. So that worked out well. But grab a cup of coffee, went into the media room, set up my stuff. My room is actually overlooking the whole thing here. So the distance from my room to the media room is very short. So that's a nice little perk. Good job by Adam there, getting the room all set up. But Mike Schilt scheduled to talk today. AJ Preller talks with myself and the rest of the San Diego media corps following the team here every day. So we'll have video and audio from that and thoughts from that a little bit later on in the day. And then aside from that, just talking to people here and trying to get content and all the different analysts they have here for MLB Network, the different reporters, different players. I saw Jake Peavy already walking around. So try to talk to him today. So yeah, just trying to, you know, gather information as best I can and provide content for our great fans back home and go from there. But a little bit later today, we'll definitely hear from Mike Schilt and we'll hear from AJ Preller as well. You know, how much are we going to get from AJ Preller? You know, we'll see. Typically, he doesn't tip his hand too much, but we'll be on it if he says anything particularly significant about the Padres' plans.
Now, Sammy, the Anatole Hotel, my dad, who was a disco king, Gary, he used to, that used to be one of his hot spots, and there was a nightclub in there called Confetti's. Is it still there?
I have not seen a place called Confetti.
All right. If you see it, take a picture of it for me, please.
Yeah, there are a few. Now, this is a big hotel. I have not been on the other side. I will say this, though, because you may remember from the last year in Nashville, the Opryland was just
massive.
It was unbelievable, amazing. I will say I prefer the winter meetings at a location like this or like in San Diego. It's much more centralized. There's not that much room to roam, and it's a lot easier to manage. Whereas the Opryland was unbelievable.
It's so huge. It's out of control.
Yeah, I had no idea where my room was by the time I checked out. Still, so yeah, this is a lot better. They got some nice restaurants and bars, and you know, if you hang around, you'll pretty much see anybody and everybody you could think of if you hang around in the evening and see who's hanging out. So should be fun, and we'll see what action there is.
Try to get to Terry Black's barbecue. It's close.
Okay.
It's close to your hotel.
Yeah.
Try to get to Terry Black's.
I saw that, yeah.
It's absolutely incredible. Incredible.
Yeah,
that's
my number one
recommendation, all right?
Hey, have you ever been to a place in Fort Worth named Heim Barbecue?
No, I have not.
Good place. Now, I don't think I'm going to get to Fort Worth.
That's
on
a
this
hike,
trip.
Yeah.
I don't have time for that. It's a hike. But that place, I went there a few years ago. That was...
Terry Black's is elite. It's elite. Now, Adam's going to see that expense report and panic because it's expensive. But you get what you pay for. It's delicious. So check that out for sure.
I kept the burger and fries yesterday. I think it was like... $21 with the tip, pretty good.
I can hear.
Now, look, I'm a pro. You go through two spring trainings. I know exactly what Adam Klug wants, what he expects, how he wants it executed. So nothing to worry about there. I'm a model citizen. It's actually really bad for you guys because
I make you guys look bad because
I'm so good. Yeah,
that's
I'm
true.
So good.
Before
yeah.
you go, Sammy, since you will get a chance to talk to AJ today, at least before the rest of us do, and I know you're not going to get anything from him. We know how that works, but maybe I'm just curious how the Roki Sasaki process goes. Like, can he shed any light on?
Let me tell you right now. There's already been an update in the last minute.
Okay.
John Morosi's reporting that he has officially been posted.
Okay, he's been posted. So now what?
Okay.
Now that he's been posted, what can the Padres say about, like, you know, how do they try to convince someone when you can't do it with money?
Right.
Like, how does that process go? Are they going to host him for, you know, a visit? Do they have a plan in place in terms of, you know, touring him around Petco Park, San Diego? How does that work? And, you know, how does that... How does that kind of shape their offseason? Because obviously, you know, logically, if they get Roki Sasaki, completely different plan. You know, you can then save your money and go after someone else. If you don't get Roky Sasaki, then you need to spread your money out, you know, and get some pitching and do a different thing. It's a completely different offseason plan if you get Roky and you don't get Roky. And when will they know? I mean, will he not make a decision literally until January 15th? Or could he make a decision in 2 weeks and then they just announce it January 15th when the window opens? Because that changes your entire offseason strategy based on whether you get him or not. So that's your question that you'll get a non-answer to, I would think.
Yeah, I'll ask him pretty much exactly that. That's a good question. And, you know, I think, you know, not only the process, but to your point, you know, the sales pitch, right? When you're not convincing somebody with money, when you're convincing him on organization and place and team and what you can provide. So I think it's a really good question. And Ben Higgins, I will, I'll make sure to ask it a little bit later. Buster Posey just walked in. If you want me to ask him anything. No, he's walking the other way. Nothing for Buster.
I've got some thoughts, but I will keep them between me and Woods and not bring in Buster into the conversation. Sammy, we'll hear from you again during the Annie and Elston program with any updates this afternoon. Thank you very much.
All right, guys. Thank you. Appreciate it.
And again, all of Sam's coverage from the MLB Winter Meetings presented by San Diego County Credit Union. It's not big bank banking. It's better.
I don't know what all this, the Roky, I thought it was going to be January 15th. Does this sway anything? He's posted.
Yeah, but he won't sign after January 15th. That doesn't mean, though, you know, he doesn't have a decision in place.
A deal in place.
Yeah, they can have a handshake deal, and we'll announce it, you know, when the new window opens. Now, can you trust it? You know, he can always change his mind. As long as it's just a handshake deal, he can get cold feet. He can decide somewhere else. But
somebody else could come in and swoop in.
It really does change the offseason. If you get Roky Sasaki, you may want to sign another pitcher, but you may save your money more toward, hey, Jerickson Profar, let's bring him back. Let's do this with whatever we're trying to do. If you don't get Roky, then you got to really save your money for pitching and find ways to bring in another starter or two. It's a huge like fork in the road for the Padres offseason. With Sasaki, you take one path. Without Sasaki, you take another path. And it's hard to make any big decisions before you know what his decision is.
Well, okay, so think about it, though. Is it really? Is it really?
Like, if you had unlimited money, it wouldn't be.
His max deal is whatever is being freed up on January 15th, right? So that's his max deal. You can still go out and add pieces knowing we may have to spend another $7 million.
You can, but if January you know 15th. You're getting Sasaki, you can spend more on other parts of your roster. Like left field, catcher, whatever. If you don't get Sasaki, then you got to spend it on pitching.
On pitching.
And so I think that's the real, you know, tipping point of the offseason.
I'd say spend some money on pitching anyway.
Probably.
Never a bad idea.
Well, you need two.
Yeah.
If Roky comes, you still need one.
Still need at least.
We're going to push Take on Woods back to 8:10 an hour since we went a little long with Sammy, which is fine. You'll have a chance to qualify for Vegas coming up. As for, we didn't really talk much about Willy Adames because Juan Soto took all the oxygen in the room. And I have nothing against Buster Posey. I have nothing against Andrew Baggerly, who covers the Giants for The Athletic. I like him a lot. He wrote a breathless piece about how Buster Posey just showed what grit and intensity he has as president of baseball operations by signing Willy Adames. He gave him the most money. You know, Willy Adames didn't come to the San Francisco Giants because of Buster Posey's grit. I'm sure Farhan Zaidi would have been happy to spend that kind of money had he been authorized to do so. Just because Buster Posey is allowed to spend that money doesn't make him somehow a better president of baseball operations.
No, I mean, he went to the highest bidder, too. They had a need. You know, they had a need. They filled it with a good player. I'm probably a moron and I'm naive, but I saw that move and I went, oh, good for them. I mean, it doesn't scare me like a Blake Snell to the Dodgers moves did. I'll tell you that. Like, that one made me a little bit sick to my stomach. Willy Adames, I looked at the rest of their lineup. It's okay. I like ours better right now as it stands today. I like ours better. I really do.
Don't Do This is coming up next, and no one revels in radio awkwardness like Stephen Woods. And boy, we have some awkwardness.
What the hell happened
over the weekend on WFAN?
Oh my God. If you guys haven't heard this yet, strap in. We got the whole thing for you. It's pretty incredible.
Coming up next after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Again, we'll have a take on what's coming up at 8:10. Pushed it back a little bit, but we'll stay on time with Don't Do This Today. And, ooh, this was some spicy audio from Friday evening, I believe it was.
Yeah,
on
Friday
WFAN,
evening.
Yeah.
Yeah, December 6th has been traditionally a very rough day for one John Heyman, baseball reporter. You might remember the arson judge to the Giants tweet that came out December 6th.
It's wrong on a couple of levels.
Yeah, didn't actually go to the Giants, and his name is not arson. John Heyman, John blocked me years ago. I don't even remember why. But now with the new feature on X, I can still see all of his tweets. So, haha. You think you got me, but you didn't. I can still see what you're up to. And was sitting around the house Friday night, and I mean, I know Keith McPherson a little bit, chatted with him a little bit in the DMs. It's like the late night host on WFAN in New York, works the night shift, seemingly a really good dude, and he's a brazen guy. I mean, you're working radio in New York, right? So everybody's got that thick skin, and it's the tough New York media.
You're a brazen guy
yeah,
yourself,
I'm a little bit of a brazen guy, but like this thing went off the rails, and it went off the rails fast. As Keith brought up, oh man, this is the anniversary of the arson judge signing, and you know, kind of threw in a little joke there about, you know, are you on Boris's payroll? Like, how do you get this information? Are you on the take? What's your percentage? John Heyman absolutely lost his mind. Check it out.
People believe everything I tweet. I've had 100,000 tweets. And, you know, you get one that was wrong, and it did say appears. And I know I rushed in, and it was a big mistake, and I regret it. But it's 2 years later.
No regrets.
I think
it's like,
at some point, I think someone could probably drop it if they're a nice person.
What I think is it just like how I introduce you. Everybody in baseball knows who you are. So one, it's a credit to your work, your following.
Yeah,
and how,
by the way, I won't be going out with you again. The whole thing has been a disaster.
That's okay.
I can't even believe you said that to question my integrity.
Are you being serious right now?
I'm being serious. Yeah,
John,
ask me if I'm getting a cut because I have a relationship with an agent. That's outrageous. I know you're not a journalist. You don't know anything about this. Okay. I know you don't, but that's an outrageous comment.
It's Friday night at 8:30, John.
You should know that much.
And I am
I'm
not
done with you.
I am not taking this that serious.
Goodbye.
John, thank you for joining us.
I can't even believe it.
Thank you,
John. I can't even believe it.
Thank you, John. Appreciate your time. He's got to get to bed. I did not expect it to go that way.
He's a little cranky.
That was what the kid.
I think if you heard my tone and the way that I am completely joking and kidding and having a lighter conversation, something that I spoke about recently too.
As the kids call it, the crash out. The John Heyman, great John Heyman crash out of December 6th, 2024. And I tweeted immediately and I said, bro, we are not curing cancer here. You're not curing cancer.
I can't even believe it.
Thank you,
I can't even believe it.
I want that forever. I can't even believe it. I want that, Paulie, to live in infamy.
I can't even believe it.
It's going right into the
tournament of drops.
It's going right into the tournament of drops. One seed, bar none. Buddy, you misspelled a tweet a couple of years ago. If you can't laugh at that, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you.
Can't even believe it.
I mean, you misspelled a tweet, and you got the city. It happens all the time. Nobody cares. It's called breaking balls. Maybe I thought you were familiar with it. Isn't he like a New York guy, too? John Heyman?
Yeah.
Thank
you,
John.
I can't even believe it.
Well, thanks for that. Thanks for that we'll have forever. What's your take? You're a journalist. I'm not. I'm more like Keith. I get that. And so, people were mad at him, and people thought Heyman was a clown.
So clearly, you know, reporters should have relationships with agents.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are favored reporters, and agents will drop them more nuggets.
Oh, by the way, who broke the Soto deal yesterday?
But there's, I mean, the implication that he's on the payroll doesn't even make any sense.
Right.
Scott Boras doesn't need to pay John. He pays John Heyman by giving him great scoops.
Giving him scoops.
That's the kind of the reward.
Now, it's a joke, though.
You know,
clearly, it's a joke.
You know, is there an element of, hey, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours?
Yeah.
Yeah, perhaps. But I don't think John has done anything unethical. As long as he's not lying,
right,
you know, in his reporting, then that's fine. Yeah, everyone's going to make mistakes. He's absolutely right in that.
Tyler said, that drop is going to go so hard in the losing Padres wrap-up intro next season. What a brilliant idea. Oh, Padres lose in the ninth again. Suarez coughs it up. I can't even believe it.
I can't even believe it.
Amazing.
Speaking of New York and mistakes, I got called out last night. I was hosting my Sports Extra program on Channel 10. When I was doing the Juan Soto story, and Julie on Twitter actually tweeted to you.
She tweeted me.
Said, be sure to give Ben Higgins lots of crap for calling my home borough the Queens.
Oh, no.
Which, the Queens?
I did. So I did. I knew I said, when I came out, I said, you know, Juan Soto is leaving the Bronx for the Queens. And I, the problem with that, like, if it was radio, I'd just stop and I'd go, well, that sounded dumb. Obviously, it's Queens. It's not the Queens. But when you get off track, everything's timed down to the second. I don't have time to go back and add 15 seconds and laugh at myself on television. Then we're off the clock. The video's off. Nothing makes sense anymore. So I just, you know me, plowed through it and just like, whatever. But she was absolutely right.
I can't believe you called it the Queens. I can't even believe it.
I can't even believe it.
Julie, I can't believe it. I make one mistake.
She gets
out of all the shows that I've ever done, I make one little mistake. I say the Queens and you call me out for it. I can't even believe it.
I can't even believe it.
Questioning his integrity. What's your favorite of the boroughs? Do you like the Bronx?
I always like that sitcom King of the Queens.
King of the Queens. What are you a the Bronx fan or the Brooklyn or the Manhattan?
I like the
Long
Island.
We know you like the Queens. The Staten Island.
The Staten Island.
It's so good. It's like when people say the MLB. It kills me every single time. If somebody tweets the MLB, I'm like, you're a casual. You are a massive casual. Oh, that's so good. Thank you for bringing that to my attention, Julie.
Finally, a little quick do-do this on a Monday.
D.D. Mega do-do.
A little credit to one actor, Timothy Chalamet.
Yes.
Absolutely killed it on College Game Day on Saturday morning.
He was really good.
He was the guest picker. I don't know. Do we have any audio of Timothy Chalamet? Listen how well.
They're making their picks.
Spoken and prepared. He's sitting up there with, you know, Kirk Herbstreit and the whole game.
He's promoting the new Bob Dylan movie.
Got his Bob Dylan movie coming out. But he did not do this like, okay, hey, I'll just, like, smile and make a pick or two. He came ready.
I'm going Jackson State, 8 wins in a row, 11 all-conference players. This should be a comfortable, easy win for them.
Breaking it down.
This guy's a great actor.
He said, I only got 6 games. I'm bringing a heater on.
You got it. These teams are 2-2 in the last 4 matchups. The Redhawks defense looks good, but I'm looking at 4th-year Bobcats quarterback Parker Navarro.
Yeah.
65% completion rate. If he can get going, he'll tilt this in favor of the Bobcats. I'm going underdog Bobcats here.
Yes.
Underdog Bobcats.
I love that.
I'm going to go with you guys with Miami of Ohio.
Okay, so yeah, that one in particular, he was right on Jacksonville State, but these minor games, like the MAC championship, everybody else on that table picked the favorite team, Miami of Ohio. He said, no, Parker Navarro, their quarterback, Ohio. Parker Navarro threw 20 for 27, 235 yards, two touchdowns, leading Ohio, the underdog, to a 38-3 rout.
Unreal.
None of the college football experts picked it. So Timothy good. Chalamet nailed it on college
Louisiana
game day.
Here, Tyrone Lewis Jr., Cody Jackson, Tyree Skipper. They're going to step that defense up. Billy Napier's legend remains. The defense is strong.
Like he knew his stuff.
He knew his stuff.
All right.
Or he memorized his lines very, very
or
well.
Or he was fed this info by someone. Again, it doesn't matter how you get to the end of the road. You got there. It doesn't matter how you get there. He crushed it. And everyone was like, why is this little twerp coming on and doing picks on the, you know, big, one of the biggest days of the year? You got that guy? And he knocked it out of the park. Oh, here's an extra doo-doo this. Robin says, just FYI, UCLA won NCAA Water Polo Championship yesterday, beating USC in the finals. I know you like to be a well-rounded sports program. Since when?
Big Ten actually. Water polo is always important.
Yes, 100%.
And that's don't and doo-doo this on a Monday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3
now,
The Fan.
Chalamet did sound a little bit like me when I don't watch a game, but I pretend that I did. Yeah, great night last night. 14 rebounds, 6 assists, 12 points. I mean, it looked really good. I've done that.
Fake it till you make
it. Fake it till you make it. Nobody knows.
ChatGPT, give me a rant for this box score.
I'm going to start doing that. You guys will know. Yeah, he was great, man. He was great. I love that.
All right, when we come back, Ben and Woods wrapped. We continue into the month of March and look back at one of our favorite events of the year, opening day on the road in Korea for the San Diego Padres. Plus, since we just brought up a little college football, this may be the time to bring up your rant about Alabama fans and media over the weekend as well.
Worse than Dodger fans. No, they're not worse than Dodger fans, but they're close. They're close.
It's coming up next with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. We've done our fair share of events over the last few years with Tier 1s. Perhaps the most memorable, though, came earlier this year in March, and we're going to continue our Ben and Woods Wrapped, our look back at some of our favorite moments of 2024. Right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. So the last few years, opening day for the Padres has been at Petco Park, which makes it, kind of easy. We know we're going to be out somewhere downtown.
Yeah.
We're going to have a big day. Everyone's going to stop by. We know how that works. But this year, with the Padres starting the season in Korea, with those two games against the Dodgers, we sort of had the dilemma. What are we going to do? I mean, the games are in the middle of the night in San Diego. What can we plan to make this exciting and special? And we spent a good deal of time in the first, month or two of the year trying to figure out what would work in that scenario.
Yeah, what is open? What is open? Where can we go that's open that we're not sitting in a parking lot looking at a TV, on a mount or something? Like, where can we go and have food and drinks and warmth and togetherness and all of that? And believe me, we wrestled with this. When Adam initially pitched it to us of like, do you guys want to do something for Korea? My initial thought was, well, I mean, I know I'm going to get up and watch the game, but I just assume lay in bed and watch the game at 2 o'clock in the morning. And then the more I started thinking about it, I said, I wonder if there would be a market for it. Boy, was there a market for it.
So when we ended up announcing, hey, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go to 7 Mile Casino, and we're going to have the games on all the televisions in the, in the patio and the bar area. If you want to, come and join us. But we really had no idea what that was going to look like. So we booked rooms at the Rambler Motel right next door, checked in on the night of Tuesday, March 19th, and said, all right, we're going to set our alarms, get up around what, like, 2 in the morning, and walk on over to, I think, what most of us were terrified was going to be a mostly empty casino. Like,
four
or five people showed up, and we were there for hours, and then we're going to broadcast live somewhere around 7 a.m. after Sammy's postgame show was over. And I remember waking up and like looking out the window of the Rambler and seeing streams of people walking by, and I was very confused because I know they have a huge parking lot over at 7 Mile. Why aren't people just parking at 7 Mile Casino? What's going on here? Why are they making this long, half-mile walk from somewhere else?
Yeah, is Tom Selleck in there playing cards or something? Why are all these people here? What's going on?
They're all wearing Padres gear.
Everyone's in Padres gear. It was such a trip.
They're going to the wrong place. They're confused. No, No, people got there while we were sleeping and filled up the parking lot, filled up the casino. People continued to arrive.
They had to turn people away because everything was full.
It was absolutely incredible. The only thing we didn't get was a win. The Dodgers won that game 5-2. But it was one of the most, I think, memorable like radio events ever in the middle of the night in San Diego. And by the time we came on the air at 7 a.m. or so, we were all pretty cashed, and things got a little off the rails right at the beginning of the show.
Welcome in, everybody. Bennett Woods, live from 7 Mile Casino, makes some noise. Look at that. Great, great, great to be here with you this morning on a non-victory morning. It's non-victory. We have victory, what's today, Wednesday?
It is Wednesday.
Victory Wednesday and a non-victory Wednesday. We'll start the season on a non-victory Wednesday.
I just got one question.
9 inches.
Is anybody tired out there? We had so many people here starting before 3 a.m., arriving like 2 a.m. to what was an absolute incredible scene. When I walked in around 2:45, 2:50, the place was already completely packed with hundreds of Padres fans who tuned in to listen and watch this game this morning.
Yeah, it was pretty bananas. The scene here was insane. We'll get into all of that. First of all, thank you guys for being here this morning and sticking around watching the show live. Really appreciate it. I'm Woodsy. That's Ben Higgins. He's your friendly neighborhood sports anchor. And Paulie Reindl, who's our executive producer, imaging director, and amateur engineer most of the morning trying to get some stuff figured out in here. I think we've got it all dialed. Now, back on the board this morning is one Adam Klug, who is our boss. Good morning, Adam. Say hello to everyone.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're doing great. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm doing excellent.
Good. So
be doing better if we had a Padres win.
Yeah, fair enough.
First pitch was 3:05. Mm-hmm. It was probably around 4:30 in the morning that I thought, I'm going to grab the equipment out of the car, the radio equipment. Not going to hit the air until about 7, but I'm going to start getting everything set up. We did not get everything officially done until about 6:55.
Yeah, it took a while.
It was awful. I don't even remember exactly what issue was, but we had some technical issue. Like I said, 4:30, so about 2.5 hours before we actually were going to hit the air, 7 a.m. start time, and nothing was working. I was on the phone with engineers. I was having them drive down at 5:30 in the morning. Like, it's the sixth inning. Now it's the eighth inning. Now it's the ninth inning.
We're getting close.
Oh, my God. Now Sammy's starting the post-game show. I'm like, we got to get this going. And it was like the commercial break before our show started that we got everything up and running.
Yeah, it was an awesome day. Awful. I was exhausted after, but it was awesome.
Then we had to do it again the next day.
So cool that we had to do it again the next day. It was bananas, but well worth it, certainly.
And thank you to all the Tier 1s who came out and made that such a memorable experience.
I'm glad they're not playing overseas to start the season. This is a nice, normal off season and all that.
Exactly. But what a memorable day in our Ben and Woods wrap for the month of March. Definitely highlight of the month. All right, let's talk a little bit of college football quickly. The College Football Playoff Committee yesterday morning released their final bracket.
Lay it out for me. Let's get the whole thing. Sports Radio 101. Lay it out for everybody.
If you missed it, obviously you probably were paying attention. But as expected, undefeated Oregon, of course, gets the number one seed overall in the tournament and a bye in the first round. Second seed is Georgia after they won the SEC championship game in overtime, beating Texas on Saturday.
That's a great game.
Boise State now becomes the third seed, the Mountain West champion. They beat UNLV on Friday night. And then the fourth seed is Arizona State, the Big 12 champs. They finished with six straight wins and topped Iowa State in the Big 12 championship game. But it was really the at-larges were the kind of the drama, and you know, everyone has something to complain about. It ended up as the five seed Texas after they lost the SEC championship. The sixth seed is going to be Penn State, and then your Notre Dame Fighting Irish dropped to the seventh seed.
Didn't bother me even a bit.
But you didn't care.
No, didn't care.
The eighth seed is Ohio State. A lot of people said, what a hard road, because Ohio State and Oregon would then have to potentially meet in the quarterfinals in the Rose Bowl for the third time. But that is if Ohio State gets past Tennessee, which is another good team. They're the 9 seed. So that'll be Tennessee at Ohio State in one of the first round games. The 10 seed is Indiana. They'll take on Notre Dame. That's an in-state game.
In-state game. Can't wait.
But they haven't played in like 30 plus years, I think.
1989 or something.
It's been a really long time. So they'll go to South Bend, Indiana, one of the college football this year.
Should be a great
matchup. I think
that's
a really interesting matchup. The 11 seed, SMU. And that was the last at-large bid.
Yeah.
Where the debate was it going to be SMU after they lost in the ACC championship game, or would it be Alabama, which was the top, you know, SEC team at the bottom of the at-large bracket that didn't get into the conference championship game?
Correct. Did not play the conference championship game. I've never seen more grousing online than I have this weekend. Nick Saban was losing his mind. I think he forgets he's not the head coach there anymore. But I couldn't believe.
I'm not going to. So quit asking.
Nick, are you ever going to stop bitching about Alabama not being in the playoffs?
I'm not going to. Yeah. So quit asking.
All right. Well, I mean, I just keep seeing him railing about it. And you see the tweets come out over the weekend of like, well, you know, there's no reason for Alabama to ever schedule a tough non-conference game. And I said, well, you already don't schedule tough non-conference game. What were the teams they played? Mercer?
The only decent team they played was Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
This non-conference schedule.
And the games that they
Wisconsin
lost...
Wisconsin wasn't that good this year.
The games that they lost, Ben, were in conference. And they lost to 2-6-6 teams. And kicked a field goal against one of them. You know what I mean? Like, didn't score a touchdown. And I understand, but you should not be in the playoffs with three losses. That's kind of how I
No, I don't necessarily agree with that. There's going to be a year, even if they stick with this 12-team playoff, that a three-loss team is going to be one of the best 12 teams in the country, especially if they play in the SEC or the Big Ten. What we don't know, can we all acknowledge the SEC and the Big Ten are a good step ahead of every other conference at this point?
Yes.
What we don't know is how much ahead.
Right.
Are the top four teams better than the second place team in the ACC?
Yeah.
Or is it only the top three? We don't really know the answer to that question.
Well, there's one way to stop all the hypotheticals. There's one way if you're Alabama. Alabama would beat SMU 8 out of 10 times. We'll beat Vandy. And then no one's upset if you're in it after you beat 2 500 teams. Your losses were horrendous. They were horrendous losses in your conference. You didn't schedule tough non-conference out of conference.
I mean, I don't
game.
Think Vanderbilt was a horrendous team though this year.
They're a 500 team.
If you go 6-6 and play in the SEC and you're playing at home, you're a pretty decent team.
Nick Saban called Vanderbilt the easiest place to play on the planet. That was his quote. And now it's look how friggin' tough Vanderbilt was. Like, come on, man. I think they were dependent on their brand, and we're going to get in because of our brand, but they didn't. And I thought that was good. I think it's cool to see some new blood in there.
Oh, I don't mind. I think it was a very close call between those teams. But what you're really complaining about are the rules that were set up. People were
Correct.
Going, Joel Klatt, like losing his mind
about the
seedings.
Joel Klatt lost his mind.
Well, the way the rules are set up, there was no other way you could seed those teams, essentially. Oregon 1, Georgia 2, Boise State 3, and Arizona State 4. I mean, there was no other way you could do it. You cannot like the format, but you've put this, you can't change the format the last day because you just, hey, you know what? This isn't working out the way we thought.
Right.
We're just going to throw it out the window. You have to play with the format you announced at the start of the season. If you want to make changes next year, fine. But the format's the format, and you're seeing that there's some problems. Now, if you changed it and you just, like, say, hey, we're just taking the 12 best.
Right.
Doesn't matter if you won their conference championships. That will also have consequences. Like, why do I even want to play in my conference championship?
Yeah, why play?
If I'm in no matter what, and I'm the one seed.
That's a step backwards.
That's how it used to be. I look at Boise State getting, not just in, they're getting a bye. That means a school like San Diego State in the Mountain West can take care of business and actually have a chance at winning a title.
Correct.
Now. That was not the case as of a year ago.
It was not the case. It was a futile effort to even play football for a school like San Diego State or Boise State.
A lot of people spent a lot of time setting up this format knowing, you know, we're going to have some issues one way or another.
Of course.
And we're going to try to minimize them by making the conference titles and the conference championship games worth something, like a chance at a bye. You don't get a bye unless you win your conference. So you better try to win your conference. If they throw that out the window, then the conference has become meaningless.
Just wait till one of these teams with a bye does the bit of, well, this isn't fair. They got to play an extra game. They're all ready to go. We've been sitting on our ass for a week. It's just like baseball. The Dodgers complaining that they had to sit a week. I mean, come on.
No perfect solutions here. But
handle your
Bama,
business.
You really don't have a ton of leg to stand on
just
here.
Just handle your business.
All right, we'll come back. 2 hours remaining. Benowitz continuing next year on The Fan.